Amen. I love that song that we just sang there. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful love of Jesus. Took my sins and made them His very own. Amen. Appreciate that. By the way, I didn't mention I've got a box of pencils out there. There's a whole box, 250 of these green pencils that were given to us. Anybody that wants them, they say the Boar's Head on it. They're from the Boar's Head Inn in Virginia. And they said they quit using pencils and went to all pens. They gave Brother Plemons 500 and they gave us 250 and said if we needed more, they could get them. And so they're not sharpened. And so somebody said they're like life without Christ. There's no point to it. Right, no point to it. But you sharpen it down, you can use it, all right? And I think that's number 2 lead. I think. I look, the pencil don't say. I didn't really look over the box real carefully. But I think that's what it is, number 2 lead. And, of course, you know that. Number 2 lead is the best. That's the most used lead. Somebody said if it's the most used, why ain't it number 1? But number 2 is the thickness of it. They gauge that like a 16-penny nail. You know, they don't mean that nail costs 16 pennies. It means that that's the size of it. And that's how the number 2 lead. Anyway, that was just a joke. How come it ain't number 1? Titus chapter number 1, and I'm going to read the first 4 verses and give you a thought that's on her heart. I don't think I'll be real, real long this morning. Come back tonight and I'll try to be a little longer, all right? I won't try to be. I probably will be. I got a lot of verses to try to cover tonight. But I've got a thought here. We'll look at some verses here in Titus, look at 4, and then we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and look at 4. I want you to hold your places in these, and then we're going to look in some other places as well, but these will be our text for today. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, reading responsibly verse 1 down through verse 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now hold your place there in Titus chapter 1 and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 6, just a few pages over to your right probably. Hebrews chapter number 6, pick up reading verse 17, again reading responsibly to the end of the chapter. Hebrews 6, 17, the Bible says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by 2 immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now stop there. You probably noticed that both of our texts mention a phrase, God, which cannot lie. Both of our texts mention something about hope. Matter of fact, Hebrews there, he talks about in verse number 18 that we have fled to that refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse number 19, he says that hope is the anchor of the soul. I want to preach this morning from a text there in Titus 1:2, those first 5 words, in hope of eternal life. And I want to preach on that, in hope of eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Herford, for that prayer. By the way, he prayed that God would bless the needs of the radio station. Reminded me that this week we had an anonymous gift of $3,000 to pay for putting the light back on the tower. Amen. And so praise God for that. Amen. And give God glory for supplying those needs. Amen. You know, he said sometimes he'd answer before we even ask. That's just God, ain't it? Amen. That's just God, and I thank him for it. Amen. Now, looking at this word hope, all right, thinking about that, in hope of eternal life, he said in verse number 2 of Titus chapter number 1, I want to think about that phrase and particularly that word, the word hope. Hope in a biblical sense is different from the way that we usually use it in today's society. The way a lot of people look at it, they look at it, for example, as a wish. Well, I hope it doesn't rain, for example. Well, I hope my team wins, for example. Well, I hope my wife fixes my favorite for lunch. You know, that's a wish. It's what the hope, but that's not how the Bible looks at hope. Amen. The Bible looks at hope as something that you can anchor on. Amen. Something you can stand on. We sing the songs, standing on the promises of God. Amen. And things like that, that's where we get our hope, has to be based on the Bible. And so hope in a biblical sense is more than just wishing for something to happen. A lot of people have hope that things are going to turn out all right in the end, and then they have an unexpected end. They're planning, you know, they're preparing. Maybe they're saving money. Maybe they're, you know, getting things prepared for a particular thing to happen, and then something else happens. Well, that hope was wishful thinking. But our hope is biblical thinking, all right? Are you following that? And so a biblical hope, I really believe, is talking about that we are trusting in the promise of God. That, as a matter of fact, do you see that in verse number 2? In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So here's the idea that I get from that, is that hope must be based on what God said. Hope must be based on the promise of God. Amen. It's not just based on what we wish would happen. Amen. And so he says this is a promise of God that cannot lie. He said he promised this way back before the world began. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God selected who would get saved before the world ever began and selected who would die in their sin and go to hell before the world ever began? That's not what that means. What that means that God made that promise before the world began. The promise is whosoever gets in Christ can be saved. That's the promise. That promised seed would bruise the serpent's head. Amen. And that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise of God from before the world began. Now, God knew, and we can't hardly comprehend that, God knew the decisions that we'd make. Matter of fact, verse number 1 of Titus chapter 1 speaks about the faith of God's elect. Do you see that? According to the faith of God's elect. That's talking about saving faith. Right? Now, what does the elect mean? That means they're saved. That's what that means. Right, they're saved. Brother Billy Mitchell gave one of the best illustrations I remember hearing about some of these words, predestination, election, all that kind of stuff. Mitchell said, he said, when I go fishing, I'm not fishing for select fish. I'm fishing for whosoever will. And he said, when I throw the bait out there, and one of them takes the bait, and I set the hook, he said, I say, praise God, this one is elected. And he said, I go reeling him in, and he said, when I get him over the side of the boat, and I get him put in the cooler or in the live well, he said, I know that one is predestined for the frying pan. Right. All those words that are used in here, when he talks about elect or predestined, they're never used about sinners. They're always used about saved folk. Amen. Matter of fact, when he talks about us being predestined, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He didn't say we're predestined to believe. He said we're predestined to be conformed. Those that have believed already, they're the predestined crowd. That's what he's talking about. Same thing about the elect. So don't let those words scare you and don't get excited about those words. I mean, we can be excited. That's good confirmation doctrine, good stability doctrine for the child of God. Amen. For those that have believed the gospel. All right? The saving faith. But notice the saving faith in verse number 1 is the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So it seems clear to me that Paul the apostle believed and preached that the gospel was something that would change a person's life from ungodliness to godliness. You see that? If it's the truth, then maybe you've believed a lie before, and that lie has led you into ungodliness. But he said the truth would lead you into godliness. The truth which is after godliness. So here's my statement. I wrote it down this way. I believe it's right. A gospel that doesn't produce godliness is not a gospel. Amen. And a quote unquote salvation that does not produce godliness is a deception rather than a real salvation. Amen. So I'm talking about this in hope of eternal life. I could say more about that. I want to be careful, but I could say more. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid there's a multitude of people in our world today that have hoped in vain. Because of the predominance, particularly among independent Baptists, but it's in the Southern Baptists, it's probably in the non-denominationals, it seems to me like it's all over the world. There's a predominance or a dominance of this easy believism that doesn't change a person's life, that doesn't change their attitude about sin, right? They just go right on living the way they were living. No change in their life. Nothing ever happens. And yet they think, well, because I repeated a prayer, because I said the magic words. We don't believe in magic words. The Bible, matter of fact, when that Philippian jailer burst in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't say the magic words. There's no magic words. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Right? And all through the Bible, it is repentance and faith. All through the Bible, that's how it is. Right? It's not magic words that get you saved. It's not repeating a prayer that gets it. Well, preacher, I prayed the prayer. Joshua was telling me about, he was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about it this week, and he was talking to somebody recently, and this is what this fellow said. This fellow had been at another church, and had preached there on a Sunday night, and the pastor was gone. This young lady came up doubting her salvation. And as she came up doubting her salvation, this evangelist dealt with her, and the evangelist said to her, he said, "We can fix this real easy." He said, "You just pray the prayer. Just say the words." And he said, "If you're already saved, God will forgive you. This will just cinch it that you'll know you're saved because you prayed the prayer and said the words." And here's what Joshua asked me. He said, "Daddy, is there one place in the Bible where God ever saved somebody that didn't know they were lost? If you don't know whether you're lost or saved, you can't get saved. Christ didn't come to save those that might be lost. He came to seek and to save those that are lost." Right? He came to save those that are lost. We used to sing the song, "I'm glad I got lost so I could be saved." Amen. Amen. Wasn't a happy day in my life. It was a miserable day in my life, but I thank God for it now. The day that the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was a sinner on my way to hell. Even though I'd never drunk liquor, though I'd never run around with women, though I'd never stolen anything, though I was just a little boy, but I realized I was lost. Amen. Just as lost as the drunkard. Right. The Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was lost and that I could get saved. And there's more to it than just saying magic words and just repeating a prayer. Amen. I know I harp on that a lot, but I'm going to tell you, that's a needy subject to be harped on in this day. Amen. And I want you to be grounded and founded on that if nobody else is, by the way. Amen. Absolutely. I'm responsible for you. I'm going to give an account of your soul one of these days. That's what the Bible said. And you're going to give an account of it. I want you to know the truth, whether you act on it or not. I want you at least to know it. Amen. So here's the thing. There's a lot of people, I'm afraid, that have a hope of eternal life, but their profession hasn't even changed this life. If it don't change this life, how do you think it's going to change eternity? Amen. I'm afraid they've hoped in vain. They may have prayed a prayer because that's what somebody told them to do, and they're trusting in that prayer. They may have repeated those words because that's what somebody told them to do, and they're trusting that person. They may have agreed to a certain number of facts. and are trusting in the fact that they've agreed to that, those certain facts. Can I tell you, I was raised in church all my life. I've told the story before. I was 8 days old, first time I ever went to church. Of course, I don't remember that. Mom and Dad told me about it. My mom and Dad got saved when I was 8 days old. And I don't remember a Sunday, I said this last week, I don't remember a Sunday morning not being in church unless it was bad weather or we're sick. I don't remember Sunday night not being in church. I don't remember Wednesday night not being in church. I don't remember revival meetings not being in church. If it wasn't bad weather or somebody was sick, something had happened. Are you following me? And so I grew up praying, but I wasn't saved. I grew up attending church, but I wasn't saved. I grew up believing what the preacher said. I believed that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God. I believed that Jesus died and was buried and 3 days later got up from the grave. I believed all that. By the way, the devils believe that too, what the Bible said. Jesus said, you believe there is, or John said it, you believe there is one God. He said, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's got to be a transaction in your heart. Sin must be dealt with. I know people hate to hear that. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't want to deal with sin. They want to coddle sin. They want to love sin. They want to cling to sin. Right? They don't want to have their sins washed away. But that's what the salvation the Bible's preaching about is. It deals with godliness. So if it's going to deal with godliness, it must deal with ungodliness. Amen. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What's that mean? Well, he was preaching to an unrighteous crowd. Amen. Brother Matt got on that this morning. All around him was sin. It looked like everybody was steeped in sin. Every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. I've said it before and I believe it's right. Back in Noah's day, they could not have written a book unless it had murder and rape and drugs and sex and cursing. About like today. They couldn't have made a movie unless it had all those things. About like today. Every imagination and the thoughts of men's heart was only evil. But Noah preached, what did he preach? Righteousness. Why? You know what he was saying? Noah wasn't saying, well, you better straighten up because the flood's coming. No, Noah was saying, you better trust God. But what you trusting God about? That God's right and your sin's wrong. Amen. That's trusting God. Anyway, let me get on over here looking at my text. I said it's going to be short. If I don't hurry up, it's going to not be short. It's the truth that is after godliness there in verse number 1. Hope has to be anchored in something. Amen. Has to be anchored in something. All right. Go to Hebrews chapter number 6. We'll come back to Titus, so don't lose that. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 17 through 20. Hebrews chapter, that second text that we read there. Look particularly at verse number 18, he says something that he'd said in the previous. He says that God, it was impossible for God to lie. He's talking about the God that cannot lie. Our hope must rest in something beyond what man has said. Well, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven because grandma told me I was. You better know more than what grandma told you. Well, preacher, I'm going to heaven because the preacher told me. You better know more than what the preacher told you. It's got to be God. Doesn't the Bible say that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God? That's what it says. It doesn't say the preacher has to tell us and the preacher has to prop us up. Amen. I go back to what Joshua was saying when he's talking to that fellow. Joshua's talking about the plan, what people talk about, the plan of salvation. The fellow said, well, first of all, you give them some Bible verses, and then you get them to repeat the prayer, and then once they've repeated the prayer, then you give them some verses of confirmation to make sure of assurance that they never doubt their salvation again. This is what Joshua said. Joshua said, if the Holy Ghost shows somebody they're lost, don't you think the Holy Ghost can show them they're saved without you having to tell them they're saved? And they ought, listen, they don't need you to tell them they're saved. They ought to be able to tell you they're saved because they've trusted in the Word of God. Right? The Holy Ghost, you know what he said he'd do? Not only that the Holy Ghost would bear witness, his spirit bear witness with our spirit, but also said the Holy Ghost would shed abroad the love of God in our heart. That's what happens at salvation. Love of God moves in where probably hatred and anger and bitterness and wickedness resided. That's what's in darkness, by the way. But when the light shines in, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Amen. Well, Joshua said to him, he said to that fellow, he said, now, how come you got to give them those assurance verses? And And that fellow said, well, because there's so many people out there going to tell them they can lose it, or they might doubt it later on. So he said, shouldn't we head them off? And Joshua said, well, shouldn't that be the job of a church? When they go to church, they ought to get confirmed. They ought to get assured when they get around the saints of God. That's right, ain't it? That is right. But here's a problem with the average soul winner's plan of salvation. They never get to church. They just go right on living like they've been living. Why should they go to church? I mean, there's no requirement. By the way, there is no requirement to go to church. But when you become a child of God, you want to hang around God and God's children. There's just something natural about that. Again, when that love of God is shed abroad in our heart, what does that love do? It makes us love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, in that you love one another. Amen. Or if you have, I think that's the way he said it, if you have love one towards another. So the point, this is my point. Many of us, listen, we wouldn't be friends. We wouldn't even know each other. Amen. But Brother Duncan's come from Owensboro. He probably wouldn't know a lot of folks in Madisonville if it wasn't for the love of God that was shed abroad in his heart. When he found us, he fell in love with us. Thank God. Amen. That's right. Listen, every one of us, we ought to be thankful that the Holy Ghost made somebody fall in love with us, or nobody would love us. Amen. There's the truth. That love of God shed abroad makes us love one another, and we long to be with the saints of God. We long to be with the people of God in God's house. Amen. So I'm looking at this. It's impossible for God to lie. We're anchored and confirmed in the Lord Jesus. I just ask the question, has the Holy Ghost ever confirmed your profession of faith in Him? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Here's what He said in verse 18 too. He said we have strong consolation. You see those two words? Strong consolation. That doesn't mean that you'll never doubt, but it means that the Holy Ghost can override those doubts. The Holy Ghost can bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen. Now, what is our biblical hope anchored to? He talks about that in verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So he says that anchor, next phrase, both sure and steadfast. So that anchor is, by the way, you know what an anchor, you don't look at an anchor a lot. When you anchor down, you throw that anchor overboard where you don't even see it anymore. But you can tell the effects of it. Because when it gets a hold, it'll hold you. Right. And so what he said, that anchor is dropped or thrown or cast into the unknown, into the unseen. But it has to get a hold of something. And here's what he's talking about. This anchor that we have is sure and steadfast. It's holding us. And it's not only holding us today, it'll be holding us tomorrow. It'll be holding us 10,000 years from now. Amen. It's anchored in something that cannot lie. Amen. But then he goes on to say in verse number 19, and which entereth into that within the veil, wherever the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus. So he said Jesus is behind the veil. So Jesus is up in heaven. He's in the Holy of Holies of heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. None of us have ever seen Him. But our anchor is stuck fast in Him. It didn't say our anchor has entered in within the veil. Notice this. Notice, he doesn't say our anchor which entereth in within the veil. No, he says it's entered into. So my anchor is not just latched onto Jesus. My anchor is in Jesus who is in the veil. Here's how Jesus said it. He said, you're in my hand and I'm in my Father's hand. That's how anchored you are. You're anchored into that which is inside the veil. Amen. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what the song says. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. That's this hope of eternal life. Amen. So here's what I'm saying. How do we know we're secure? Because we're in Him. We're anchored in Him. We're trusting in Him. Our life is hid in Him. Amen. All those are biblical statements and it's truth. All right. Now, we're going to go back to Titus in a minute, but go to Psalm 119. I want to show you several verses in Psalm 119 that talk about hope and where the anchor is. It's anchored in the words of God. or the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible, and every verse, or at least almost every verse, I think every verse, deals specifically with the Word of God. Now, it's used in a lot of different ways. You know that. It's speaking extensively about the Word of God, but sometimes it's called the judgments of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God, the statutes. You got all those different things, but it's all talking about the Word. Now, Psalm 119, verse 43. We'll just run through a few of these. Psalm 119, verse 43. I'm still in the introduction. I'll get to my points and be done, all right? Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. You know what he's saying? My trust is in what you've said, Lord. My hope is in your word. Jump down to verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now, what does the Holy Ghost say? I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost said. When a preacher's preaching, the Word of God's going, matter of fact, it don't even have to be a preacher preaching. If you're reading a gospel tract, and that's the Word of God in there, and the Holy Ghost starts taking it, you know what he'll say? He'll say, those words are true. When the preacher's preaching, he may say, the preacher's pointing at you. I can do like that, and every one of you think, he's pointing at me. You're absolutely right. Yep. But the Holy Ghost says, he's talking about you. The Holy Ghost says those words are true. Right? So, and here's what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you to do. Trust in the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. Trust, amen, put all your trust in the Word of God. That's what you hope. Thou hast caused me to hope. That's hoping in the Word of God. Look at verse 74. He says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Amen. Not hoping in man's word, but hoping in God's word. But notice what he said. He said that they that fear thee. We talked about that. I think about 12 Sundays maybe. I preached about the fear of God. Here's the fear of God. These people that are in church, they're going to see me. Why? Because I'm going to show up now that I've trusted in the Word of God. I'm going to be in the house of God, and they're going to rejoice with me that I've trusted in the Word of God. Let me say something about last week, and I'll get back. There's a young man that got saved a couple of weeks ago. Young black man in that church. He grew up off and on in that church. Their family was in and out, had a lot of disjointed and in trouble. This young man was out living a worldly life. He's got a child out of wedlock. He is living with a woman. He was dealing drugs. He's a boxer. He is very athletic, very physical, all those things. And yet the Holy Ghost got to dealing with him about his sin. He got troubled that he couldn't sleep, couldn't rest, couldn't have any peace. One day he went to the house of God, called on the Lord, and got saved. Now, he didn't give this testimony to us, but other people told us that he went back to that girl that he was living with, and here's what he said. We can't be committing fornication. There can't be no more of this shack up. Are you following me? You say, what is that? That's Holy Ghost conviction. Right. This crowd that can go right on, right on, right on. They got a problem. And the problem is, they haven't trusted in the Word of God. They haven't believed, but this guy, and you know what happened to her? She got saved by the grace of God. And then they brought another couple. I mentioned about that. His younger brother got saved. Amen. There in the house of God. But this is my point. You say, preacher, are you talking about sinless perfection? No, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I'm talking about a salvation that deals with sin and sins that are accepted in our world today. Right? Just accepted. Everybody does it, preacher. Sure, they may everybody do it, but that still don't make it right. Amen. And so, here he said, they're going to see me in the house of God, and they're going to rejoice with me. You know what? Here's this fellow comes in. Here comes in that girl. I mean, she's got them nose rings. She's got them tattoos on her arm. She don't know. Here comes that boy in, the one that got saved on Wednesday night. He's in shorts in the house of God. You know what they did? They welcomed him. They is glad that he came forward and got saved. Amen. They is glad when the others came back. Amen. They're glad that they're trying to learn and listen. You know what? I believe God's people, listen, when I got saved, I didn't know everything about it. Matter of fact, I'm still probably learning things about it, to be honest with you. Right. And you probably are too. I want to get closer to Jesus. But in that getting closer to Jesus, I want to be excited when somebody else gets saved. And so, brother Owen got that guy up after them two got saved, after his brother and his girlfriend, I guess you'd say, got saved. Brother Owen got that young man up to dismiss in prayer. And it was really nice to see a big strapping black man that's got all them muscles and all that ability get up behind the microphone and couldn't even hardly put words together because of the grace of God and the change God had made in his life. See his mama and stepdad in the house of God, his sister in the house of God. Amen. God working in their family. Amen. You know what he's trusting in? Trusting in the Word of God, and the Word of God will make a change in your life. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. All right. I read verse 74. Let's jump down to 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Amen. I have hoped, I hope in thy word. Jump down to verse 114, and we'll read, there's three right here together, 114 through 16. 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Amen. So he's talking about the hope that he has in the Word of God. Notice verse 14, 114 talks about hoping in the Word. Verse 116 talks about hoping in the Word. Verse 115 says, I'm changing crowds. You notice that? Sandwiched right in between those two verses, talking about the hope of the Word of God. Verse 15, he said, get away from me, depart from me, you evildoers. Now that's not a haughty, I don't want to have nothing to do with you, I'm better than you. No, that's not what that's talking about. But he said, I'm not running with that crowd anymore. That's exactly what he's saying. I'm not going that way. Brother Earl Hughes, Brother Plemons brought this up this week, and I forgot it. Brother Earl Hughes used to say, you know how I'm not going where other people are going? Because my feet's not turned the same way they're going. I'm turned in a different direction. Right. Don't mean I'm better than them, just better off. You've heard me say that. I think that is right. Amen. It's just by the grace of God that we can be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Just by the grace of God that we can be changed, but I'm glad God still changes sinners. I'm glad the power of God still works in 2025. Amen. Amen. So, this fellow's talking about changing his direction. All right, verse 147. 147 is another one of them. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Now that prevented doesn't mean that I stopped the dawn, but he's talking about I got up before the dawn. I was calling on God before the day ever rose. I really believe when you get saved, you'll find yourself talking to the Lord. I believe when you really get saved, you'll find yourself crying out to the Lord. Amen. Didn't he say that the Holy Spirit, when he talked about that bearing witness with our spirit, didn't he say that the Holy Spirit comes into us and by which we cry, Abba, Father. Ain't that what he said, the book of Romans? That is what he said. The Holy Spirit causes us to cry, Abba, Father. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit gets us to start talking to God. Right? We're not praying to an idol. We're not rubbing them an amulet. We're not looking at some symbol. We're not praying some rosary. We're talking to our Father. He's our Father. Talking about God. Amen. All right. Then there's one more. Psalm 119 verse 166. The last one. 166. He said, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. I really believe that a hope that really, really brings salvation is a hope that will cause you to love the Word of God and love the will of God. He's not saying I have done these things so I can be saved. No, he said, since I'm saved, I long to do these things. Amen. Now this crowd that says, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God's will is. That crowd needs to check up on their salvation. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to my text, Titus chapter 1. I'm going to preach my short message. I gave you a long introduction, short message. 3 points real quickly. Look at it. They're all in verse number 2. I said I was going to preach on in hope of eternal life. Look at there's 3 points. And that first phrase, I'm going to go from comma to comma. In hope of eternal life. This hope that we have, number 1, is in a non-dying life. Eternal life. Right? In hope of eternal life. How long would you think eternal life ought to last? How long would you think it ought to last? Well, let me just ask you this. If somebody repeats that prayer and says the right words, and you give them assurance, and you can't find them next Sunday, if it didn't last a week, what makes us think it'll last an eternity? Amen. If, well, they did good for about a month. Okay. Did you know, I can name multiple men. I'm thinking about a man that was in our family. It was my dad's first cousin. Went when he's dry out clinics and got dried out. I mean, he'd been on alcohol. He'd had all kinds of, been in jail lots of times, even prison lots of times, danger of his life lots of times because drinking was going to kill him. And he went and signed himself in one of them things and got dried out. And he got his brother, I believe it was, to come pick him up and was drunk before he got home. He got released from the dry out clinic. Clean! But it didn't change his inward nature. Didn't change his hunger and his thirst. Listen, I know that sin has a hold on people and it can draw you back and you can be enticed into those old lusts and those old sins and those old habits. Right? But the Bible also says that God gives us new desires. As newborn babes, desire the liquor? No, that ain't what he says. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Right. Amen. And I believe this. Melissa was reading something the other day. The guy said this. He said, we talk about breaking old habits. He said you never break habits. You can't break them. You got to replace them. But I don't know how many men I've heard talk about how that they carried a pack of cigarettes in their front pocket. And they, maybe it's Marlboros, they carried them in their pocket. Maybe hard pack, they carried it in their front pocket. And they did that for years. And then even after they got saved, and even after they struggled to get rid of it, that they'd still struggle with it. And I remember one man in particular said he took a New Testament and stuck it in that pocket. My dad said even after he quit, he said he'd get done with a meal, get a cup of coffee, he'd automatically reach it. Because that's what he's used to doing. Reaching for that pack. But if you've got a Bible there, you've replaced that with something, you can remember, oh no, I'm trusting in the Word of God. I don't want to go back to that. Amen. And I'm not saying that those things save you, but I'm saying they can help you. Right? Replacing those habits. So here, this eternal life, I just ask the question, how long should it last? Well, you'd think it lasts at least a week, wouldn't you? You'd think it lasts at least a month. You'd think it lasts at least a lifetime. Right? It ought to last at least a lifetime, if it's going to last forever. So he's talking about this hope of eternal life. Amen. So I just ask the question, those that are trusting in a hope, they can't even get them to the house of God the next week. I wonder what they're really trusting in. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know it very well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That said, any man, that means that works every time somebody gets saved. Amen. Y'all are quiet. Maybe you're hungry. Let me ask you this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's what some people say. Well, that's just positional truth. Everything changed on the inside, but nothing they actually have changed on the outside. Let me ask you this. If it's not practical truth, then is it practical to trust in it? Does it make sense? If it's not practical truth, in other words, if the change on the inside doesn't affect the outside, then how can you trust that any change actually took place? I can tell you all day long that cocoon, that this little caterpillar went in that cocoon and became a butterfly, but if no butterfly ever comes out, how will you know that thing actually ever changed? Amen. So there's a non-dying life. Number two, there's a non-lying God right there in the same verse. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Did you know men may lie to you? They may lie to you unintentionally. Have you ever promised somebody you'd do something then you couldn't? Something happened. Maybe something came up. Maybe because of inability of your own, maybe insufficient funds, maybe unforeseen things, you made a promise that you couldn't keep. But I'm glad our God has never made a promise. Never made a promise He couldn't keep. Everything He ever promised you, He has the ability to do. Everything He ever promised, He has the funds to do. Amen. He has the means to do it. So our hope is anchored in a God that cannot lie. Here's what, when you anchor into something, some of you guys have done it. You've been on a boat, you've thrown that anchor out, and you felt it hooked in a rock. But somewhere maybe the tide got to moving, the wind got to blowing, and that rock moved. Because a lot of them rocks in them streams are wore down and they're row. But we've got a God that don't move. Our anchor is anchored into something that is immovable. Amen. A non-dying life and a non-lying God. And last of all, a non-ending promise. Here's what he said. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Amen. God's promise is more sure than the sun. The sun may go out, but God's promise will keep shining. The moon may fall to the ground. The stars may fall from the sky, but God's promise is going to keep standing. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said, my words shall not pass away. Thank God we can anchor our hope in something immovable. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Brother Sammy Allen used to say, now be careful. Don't get too excited. You're only going to live as long as God lives. Don't hurt yourself now. You're only going to live as long as God lives. You know what he was saying? He is saying God's people ought to be the happiest people on earth. Here's what the world says. The world says, get a life. I like to tell them, I got one, and mine will last forever. What they call life, living the high life, ain't life. It's just death. But I'm glad I got a life, and it'll last forever. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity as we've tried to preach it this morning for your help. Lord, I pray that you'd bless not only the reading of the Word, but the preaching of the Word. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would amen it in the hearts of others. And Father, that somebody would trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, those of us that are trusting you, Lord, help us to keep trusting you because we found you a faithful God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.